The prayer meeting time, Grace Baptist Church. I'd like to have you take your Bibles this evening to Romans chapter 13. Pause for a moment of prayer and go into our Bible study before we take your prayer request this evening. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of the day. We thank you for the special blessing of your presence. Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities to serve. And as we meet tonight, we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be pleased with the labors that are put forth in the giving of the word, the receiving of the same, and the intercessory prayer time. And for the ministry to the youth that goes on in the other part of the building, we ask your special blessing upon them. We ask, dear God, that tonight that the heart of the people will be challenged with the point of the word. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that might carry over into every area of life while we wait for the precious Lord Jesus to come. Your blessings we desire for each family, present and absent. And in all of it, Lord, that we might see that all glory is brought to you. You're worthy of it. And we just ask your Heavenly Father that we might live each moment of every day for the rest of our lives, waiting and watching and praying, serving with all of our hearts, with nothing but love for you in every action that we take. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 13. In the 10th verse, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And then to our point of reference in the 11th verse. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Inevitably, during the course of a month or your time, somebody no doubt has approached you and asked, what time is it? Or do you have the time, buddy? Something to that nature. And in the 11th verse, it is mentioned there about high time. High time. Just what is the high time? And what does it have to do, if anything, to prayer? And what does it have to do, if anything, with the return of the Lord? High time is... If we might put it this way, we can say that there is no time like now. That's the sense that carries with it. There's no time like now. And as it would be applied to prayer, first of all, let me have you think about high time when it comes to prayer. Maybe you are much like this. I know that we probably all fall into the same kind of a mindset, that people pray on the installment plan. You know how you just said you people pay on the installment plan? A little bit each month until finally you've completed the payments and it becomes officially yours and not the bank's or the lender. I think sometimes there is, within the body of Christ, when it comes to prayer, no disputing that God hears our prayers, that He delights in hearing our prayers, and that He has the ability to answer our prayers. And we have learned that prayer is like breathing. It's something that is natural to the Christian. And so prayer is something that is done all the time. Prayer for self, prayer for someone else. But praying on the installment plan, I want you to think with me about that for a minute. It's sort of like pray as you go and then take possession 3 days later, a month later, a year later? How many of you have approached the Lord in your time of prayer, as you will tonight? You will offer up your requests, then you will be dismissed to your places of prayer, and you will intercede for people, which is why we're here. It's an important ministry. It's certainly important to the people who are on the receiving end of the prayers. It is also very, very important for the health and the vibrancy of the church. But we will ask for someone in a particular situation. Maybe it is that there's a family member or friend that we know needs the Lord, and we raise our hand, we offer the person's name, and we ask for the church family to pray for that person's soul. Or it may be that someone else is grievously ill, and we offer that name, and we give the details, and when we go to intercession, people pray. And that's a good thing. Prayer is marvelously wrapped up in the whole theological and philosophical definition of faith itself. Prayer is really one of the most profound acts of faith that a Christian may engage in. But I'm going to again come back to this praying on the installment plan, which means in this way that while we do that, there is really maybe little, if any, or perhaps no sense of urgency or expectation in the request that we make. Now, you know, some requests that are made require immediate attention. It requires immediate attention. Verse we read here that knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Let me give you a for instance. I want to show you probably one of the most unlikely persons in the world who prayed on the installment plan and the response of the Lord to that prayer request. And I want you to see this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And on that day in the cross, verse 39 says, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. This man hath done nothing amiss. One fell swoop, one simple little statement, the man owns his sin. And on the other hand, he recognizes that the one hanging in the middle has none and is a perfect substitute. And for that reason, he makes this prayer request. And whether you see it this way or not, it is actually a prayer request to what he asks him in verse 42. Very simple prayer. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The man praying on the installment plan. Here's a man about to slip off into eternity. And he says to the Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And the Lord, in his response, a weighty response, an instructional response, says this. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, and please notice the time element in the next word, today. What a great comfort. What a great comfort that underscores numerous other references in all of the Scripture. Today, not tomorrow, not the next day, but today you will be with me in paradise. We know Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But when? Now we have in Jesus' own words, immediately, today. What a comfort to know that you're not going to be floating. Your spirit is not going to be floating around aimlessly, wandering someplace in far space until resurrection day. It says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Now, in this little back and forth, prayer and answer to prayer, we learn some things. At least we ought to learn this. When you go to prayer tonight and when you go to prayer tomorrow, pray without a sense of installment. Pray with a sense of immediacy and urgency. God can do that. You bring somebody to the prayer room tonight, terribly sick, and you maybe offer a general request. Send it up with all your heart to the Lord. But tonight, attached to it, dare to call God on His promises and ask for relief today. Now, he may not. Paul asked him over and over and over again for relief from his ailment, and God did not do so, but he answered his prayer immediately. Paul just couldn't take no for an answer, but he got the answer right away. So here it is, my friends. You're in the thief in his position, and you're about to die that day. And there you have who you believe to be the eternal Son of God hanging next to you, and you make this request: remember me. It would be good if you remember me tomorrow, Lord. It would even be good if you remember me 3 days from now, Lord. It certainly is good at any time you would remember me, Lord, maybe a month from now. Would you please remember to fetch me up into your kingdom next month? That's better than the alternative, wouldn't you agree? But isn't it so much more to hear Jesus say today? Today you'll be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, but today. The minute you expire, you're coming home. Now here's a guy who never did a single act of Christian service, was not a follower of Jesus, wasn't even baptized, never walked an aisle, never prayed the sinner's prayer, never read a Christian tract, never heard a gospel sermon. But what he did have opportunity is to see the Word incarnate right there and to witness in a way and under circumstances that few of us probably would have the stomach for. I wouldn't want to trade places with the guy on the way to heaven, would you? Not me. Not me. But he owned his sin, and he recognized the sinlessness of the one next to him. And talk about militancy. He rebukes the other thief on the cross. In the midst of all of the suffering, and horrible it must have been, he rebukes the other thief for his comments. We sometimes tread the road to heaven on flowery beds of ease, and we let comments like the one man said to the Lord pass by without even a blink. So what time is it? Well, it's high time. Exactly what does that mean? Well, go to the Gospels just for a moment. I want you to see the sense of the high time and press again on you a sense of urgency as well as expectancy. In Matthew chapter 8, in rapid fire fashion, at the 13th verse, we see the same word, Hora, and we get a good understanding of this matter before us. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 13, Jesus said to the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed in what? High time. Servant was healed. High time. In that instant. What instant? Well, right in the, if you read the whole context of the discussion between the Lord and the centurion, you get an idea of what high time is. Another one. Chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus and Jairus' daughter. Chapter 9, verse 22. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. High time. From that hour, it was high time. In chapter 15. Chapter 15. It's a little conversation between a woman of Canaan, grievously vexed with a demon. Jesus remarks in verse 28, Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from what? That very hour. High time. That very hour. In chapter 17, would you look there, please? Chapter 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water." Now, I want to say to you that that's grounds for prayer there. If you have a son that's a lunatic and you say, you hold your hand up and say, "Pastor, would you pray for my son? He's nuts. Demonic possessed. Would you pray for him?" And say, "Yes, I sure will." And let me say, and would you please, often, every time he gets near a fire, he throws himself into the fire. Would you pray for him? Oh, absolutely. But when is high time? What time is it? Take into consideration the son who's the lunatic. What time is it for him? Yes, it is good that God's people pray, but without a sense of urgency and immediacy. As good as the intercession may be, sometimes the circumstances require immediate attention. Has anybody ever asked you to pray for them or pray for a loved one, and you graciously consented to do so? I say, I will pray for so and so. But have you ever stopped in the middle of what you were doing, took the person by the shirt, and said, "Let me pray with you now for that person"? Because the circumstances required immediate attention. Too many people pray on the installment plan. They pray, and that's good, but without a sense or little a sense of urgency or expectancy. Now here's the boy. "We brought him to thy disciples, they could not cure him." That was like the first century equivalent of the Mayo Clinic. If you take him to the Mayo Clinic and they can't do anything for you, your goose is cooked. They couldn't cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from when? High time. High time. That very hour. What time is it now? This is prayer time, yes? This is high time. High time. There are things that require immediate attention. For example, everyone in this room, I bet you without a whole lot of effort, could take a piece of paper out and write down the names of five people that you know right now are lost. And you've been praying for them. You've maybe even been witnessing to them. You could do five names without even blinking. Yes? You could do that? Well, how urgent is the situation? What time is it? You have to ask. What time is it? Well, in light of what we read about the return of the Lord, just give you a for instance. Go into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Let me tie this together in a nice little knot, I trust. Matthew 24, and I believe verse 36. What time is it? High time as it relates to your prayer time. High time as it relates to the return of the Lord, the parousia. High time. Verse 36 says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man." Hour. That hour. "No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." In verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." You don't know. "But know this, but if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." So what time is it with respect to the Lord? Don't know. This one thing we do know. There is not a sign outstanding that we watch for that gives us a signal of His return. Now take that to those five people that you can put on a piece of paper that you know tonight are lost without any doubt. And may I suggest to you that it's high time in light of the time. No man knows when Jesus is coming. No man knows when the tribulation begins. No man knows for sure exactly when judgment falls upon the earth and upon those five people that you would have on that prayer list. I say it's high time. It is good to continue your daily prayers for them, as well we all ought. But pray with the same sense of urgency that Jesus taught us from the cross when He said, "Today, today, you'll be with me in paradise." Come to the Lord at the throne of grace and say, "Lord, not only do I ask for Your grace and mercy to be dispensed to so-and-so and so-and-so, but would You do it now, tonight, today, before the sun goes down, Lord?" And then, of course, you have to weave in another factor. How shall they hear without a preacher? It may be that you've been praying for them, but never witnessed to them. It may be that you've been praying for them, but never put a gospel tract in their hand. And you need to do that before you pray. What good are your prayers if they do not know the nuts and bolts, the essence of the gospel, much less their culpability and sin? Say, "Well, okay, I'll do that tomorrow." Then you miss the whole point of the urgency and the immediacy of the high time as it relates to prayer and as it relates also to the coming of the Lord. Everything hinges on that. It's such a great mystery, except that we know He is and His coming is imminent. "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man." Now, I realize that Matthew 24 is in a post-trib context or a tribulation context, but the principle of His imminent return, His unannounced sudden return, is there. Would you pray with me? Our dear Heavenly Father, hear now our requests, and then watch over us as we intercede. Lay the burden, the sense of the urgent hour in which we live upon each of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen.